Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Hear the word of God. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is an exciting time of the year. You know, I hope that the joy is beginning to creep into your life and your home. You know, it's a time when we celebrate. Indeed, it's a time when we ought to be joyful, because of this joyful good news, you know, which we remember and which we now participate in, you know, the wonder of a Savior, of the Savior that God had long ago promised finally coming. The angels came and made that wondrous announcement. You know, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This joyful event had been long anticipated, very long anticipated. The promise was there in the hearts of some of humankind, at least, right from the very fall itself. You remember how even as God pronounced judgments and curses on Adam and Eve and on the world itself, as a result of their fall into sin, there was also that wonderful word of promise. The promise of a seed, the seed of the woman, the one who would come, who would take vengeance, as it were, on the one who had instigated this sin, Satan himself. The promise was that there would be a child, a son of the woman, who indeed would crush, you know, the head of the serpent. And so from that point on, you know, there were those who harbored in their hearts, even as they experienced all of the struggles and repercussions of the fall, who harbored in their hearts hope that this child was soon to appear, that he would come and release them from that frustrating work to which they had been assigned by God now, that he would come and release them, you know, from the disease and the pain that now began to rack their bodies, that he would set them free from that powerful grip of sin in their lives. Sin wasn't over and done with after that first sin. It was only the beginning of sin taking a root and growing in the lives of all of humankind. And death, that separation from God, and the disintegration of our own bodies, the banishment once more of death, and the recovery, most of all, of unhindered fellowship with God, of a relationship with God that was rich and full and fulfilling in our lives, not a relationship dominated by fear and concern about God's wrath falling upon us, but a relationship that's marked most especially by his love for us and our responsive love to him. A few decades ago, a Christian artist sang, you know, "For 1,000 years the dreamers dreamed and hoped to see his love. But the promise showed their wildest dreams had simply not been wild enough." Truly, that's the case, isn't it, in our Lord Jesus Christ. People were expecting band-aids, as it were. Band-aids because there was some strong guy making their lives miserable, or some powerful nation making their lives miserable, whether it was the Egyptians or the Philistines or the Assyrians or the Babylonians. There was always somebody, you know, controlling their own nation and controlling their own lives. And they felt the need, you know, for someone who could bring them closer to God. So many of their priests, whose job it was to help them approach God, were failures. You know, they did not really carry out their responsibilities well. They were not able, you know, to help God's people come near to him. But also, you know, there was that sense within themselves of just feeling so forlorn and abandoned. Instead of knowing, you know, that fellowship with God, he seemed so distant. And their attempts to understand the very communications, you know, the scriptures that he had given, just seemed so challenging and so hard. And so they latched on, you know, to anyone, you know, who could help in some way. Someone like David, you know, who was a reminder, you know, that the Christ was coming, the seed of the woman, the anointed one was going to come, but who still, you know, failed himself, you know, who failed, you know, in his own walk with God and who failed in his leadership of the people. But when the Savior comes, when Jehovah comes, how he saves. It's not a band-aid, you know, that comes now with the announcement of the Savior, but it's a trauma surgeon, someone who can deal adequately with the way we're bleeding, you know, the way we're hurting. A hero, you know, who doesn't just for a time give us a little relief, but a hero who binds the very strong man himself, Satan. You know, someone, you know, who conquers Satan. A victor. A victor over death itself, who delivers us from death and hell. Now, he brings out of Satan's kingdom even a great bounty of plunder, not gold and silver and precious stones, but he brings men and women, boys and girls, from the kingdom of the enemy into the kingdom that belongs to him, a kingdom not of darkness and pain and death, but a kingdom of light, a kingdom of life, a kingdom of peace with God. And he himself is a priest, you know, that faithful priest, the one who makes that ultimate sacrifice, who sacrifices not animals, you know, whose blood really only pointed to him, but he sacrifices himself. He gives his own body that we might have peace with God. And he brings us the word of God. You know, and he gives us his spirit to enable us to hear and understand that word that he gives to us. A faithful teacher. A wise counselor. The divine son. Who does all that was needed to deal with the plight into which we fell in the fall. And so indeed, it's joyful news, you know, good news of a great joy, the greatest news, the greatest joy that long-awaited one has been born. Yeah, that's what the angel says to those shepherds out on the hillside. You know, it captures their hearts, doesn't it? They say, yeah, we ought to go and see this child. And so they're not put off by the fact that he's just a baby who's been born. You know, they know that that was the case. You know, the promise had been that it would be the seed of the woman who would come. They knew he had to come as a baby, just like every other, you know, person born into this world comes. And so they went to see the good news. And yet, you know, for some, you know, it was a real struggle for them, you know, to comprehend that this baby, in those circumstances in which he was really the Christ. You know, after all, when the wise men come, they go to the most logical place to find the one who's born King of the Jews. They go to Jerusalem, the capital city. They go to the one who's ruling in Jerusalem. He ought to know. It's probably in the royal family, you know, from whom, you know, this one is going to come. Well, he is, but he's not among the higher ups at that point. His parents are humble people, you know, working people. And so his circumstances seem to be something of a challenge. You know, no royal palace for him, but rather a stable. No royal robes, but rather just swaddling cloths. No retina of people, you know, to do his every whim. You know, simply his mother and his father. You know, no elegant cradle, just that feeding trough, you know, for the cattle. And his parents, you know, there to meet his needs. A baby who looks like any other baby, a baby who cries when he wants to be fed, a baby who messes his diaper, you know, a baby who needs to be hugged and loved and cared for. But despite the humble circumstances, you know, God still gives, you know, his son a grand birth announcement, doesn't he? Not just this one angel who comes to announce the good news, but then, you know, we see in the text how it's followed by this host of heaven. You know, this large number, we're not told how many, who say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." You know, God sends, you know, wonders, you know, to accompany the birth of his son. Not just an angel and then a whole host of heavenly beings, but that star that appears in the sky that we read about in Matthew that guides, you know, the wise men to the Christ child. You know, certainly in his own ways, you know, God announces with great splendor and grandeur, you know, the birth of this long-awaited one. You know, when he's still just a little tiny baby, barely 6 weeks old, you know, and his parents bring him to the temple, you know, for his mother's purification after his birth. You know, there are those who are there who acclaim him to be the Lord's Christ, the light, the Lord's salvation, the glory of Israel. You know, they're able by faith to see in this little baby with very humble parents that this is the one. This is that long-awaited Savior, the rescuer who was going to come and accomplish all that God had promised over the centuries that he would. And so indeed, it is good news. It's good news that now the Savior has been born. And we, you know, here, you know, we stand on a long way, you know, past that grand birth, you know, 2,000 years, you know, beyond, you know, that birth is where we stand. You know, we didn't have to anticipate it in our lifetime, but we get to look back on it and we get to reap all the benefits of it. You know, Jesus, as an adult, taught how we get to participate in this good news, and we've heard that. We've heard the good news, you know, that there is salvation to those who trust in Jesus. For everyone who believes in him, there's life, eternal life, everlasting life. There's citizenship in the kingdom of God. And there's membership in the family of God. You know, this long-awaited son, as a glorious king, you know, calls, you know, those who believe in him to those he calls us to embrace him. And as we embrace him, you know, he welcomes us as brothers and sisters into the family of God. And so we get to experience that wondrous love of God, that amazing love that fills our heart with that which we long for most, you know, a relationship with the God of heaven. We want to know him and to be known by him. And it's through Jesus that we get to do that. It's through him that we get to have this relationship that God is with us and we are with him. You know, we are no longer strangers and aliens, but we've been brought near in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that gracious invitation continues to go out. We bear witness to the world about it. And I trust that in this season when people in some small way are remembering, you know, the Christmas story, that you'll have opportunities, you know, to tell them about Jesus, you know, whose birth they're celebrating, and about the wondrous salvation, you know, that Jesus gives to those who put their faith in him. His birth is not just the birth of this cute little child. His birth is the birth of that long-awaited rescuer, that long-awaited Savior, you know, who would deal, you know, with all of the sin and death and pain of our human existence. Generations of people were born and lived and died only hoping. But we live in this time where we see the reality of what the scriptures had promised. We see the reality, not just of his birth, but we know that he accomplished what he came to do. We know that indeed he was the sinless one. We know that he went to the cross of Calvary. And there, you know, he pays the debt, you know, for our sin. We know that he rose again from the dead, that he ascended into heaven. And from there, you know, he continues to rule and to reign, you know, as that great Savior whom God sent. As we come to the table of the Lord today, we remember our Savior. You know, Jesus told us to do this in remembrance of me. And so we remember him. We remember, you know, his wondrous birth, but we remember his sacrificial death. And we remember, you know, his glorious resurrection and ascension. We remember that he is the Savior who washes away the sins of all who trust in him, who gives life, everlasting life, to all who rest in what he did. Let's pray. Our Savior, we would remember you. We would remember, you know, the glories of your arrival here in this world. But we would go on to remember that you came to die, that you came to be a sacrifice for the sins of your people. But we remember as well that you rose again from the dead, that the Father was pleased with the sacrifice that you had made, that you've been exalted to the right hand of God. And from there, you know, you're administering, you're governing and disposing all things in your church, you know, for your glory and for our good. And how we pray, O Lord, that you would continue to send out by your Spirit with power, you know, this wondrous good news that there is salvation for all who turn to you in faith. Amen.